Buckle up, folks. The amps are humming, the lights are low, and I have thoughts that might catch fire if we're not careful. What happens when two Yellowstone icons trade Montana mountains for Texas plains? Today we find out.
I am Vixie Steele, and today I feel like someone lit a fire under my ass. The sparks are real and the patience is not. All right, let us get into it. Dutton Ranch on Paramount Plus, a 2026 drop that yanks Beth Dutton and Rick Wheeler out of icy Montana and slams them into South Texas heat. Same franchise DNA as Yellowstone, but the vibe is new turf and new enemies. The hook is simple, a fresh start with the same storm on the horizon. Beth and Rip try to build a life away from old ghosts, and then they run into a local empire called Ten Petal Ranch. You got a matriarch named Beulah Jackson sitting on that throne, and trust me, she is not giving up an inch for free.
Quick facts, mate. It was announced back in 2024, originally called The Dutton Ranch, and shaved to Dutton Ranch in March 2026. 9 episodes, premiered May 2026 on Paramount Plus. Filmed in Ferris, Texas, standing in for South Texas. Rio Paloma is the town heartbeat, where the vet Everett McKinney works. Ed Harris plays him, bringing weathered authority like he's seen 3 lifetimes, and a war which is baked into the character.
Cast check. Kelly Riley is back as Beth, the boardroom buzzsaw with a heart that's a locked vault. Cole Hauser returns as Rip, the field general who solves problems before breakfast. Finn Little comes back as Carter, their adopted kid with a coming of age that actually feels dangerous in this county. Then the Jackson side. Annette Bening as Beulah Jackson, dripping power and courtesy like twin blades. Jai Courtney is Rob Will Jackson, the reckless youngest son who runs on impulse, gasoline, and questionable choices. Juan Pablo Raba is Joaquin Jackson, the fixer big brother who cleans messes with a poker face. Natalie Allen Lind plays Oriana Lynn Jackson, Rob Will's daughter and Beulah's granddaughter, air material. And also Carter's love interest, which is a romantic grenade if I have ever seen one. On Team Dutton, you get J.R. Villarreal as Azul Ramos, the local conduit who knows where bodies are not buried yet, but could be. Mark Menchaca is Zachariah Moss, fresh out of prison, good with his hands, carrying shadows that do not behave. Also, Morgan Wade pops up as Carol the bartender, and the bar is where truth and lies have a dance-off.
Now, people keep asking me, how can this be both a sequel and a spin-off? Pick a lane, right? Listen, this is actually the smart play. You ride in with characters we already care about, so no onboarding lecture, but you park them in a brand new ecosystem with fresh rules. It's like moving your favourite band into a different studio and cranking a new sound. Same soul, different fight. That is how you dodge franchise fatigue while cashing the brand check. Respect where it is due.
Behind the camera, Christina Alexandra Voros directs the premiere and the finale, which gives the season a clean bookend. In between, you have Greg Yutanis, Jessica Lowry, and Phil Abraham. A sturdy bench. The ratings picture? Rotten Tomatoes sits at about 83% early, while Metacritic drops a cooler 63 out of 100. Different map, different vibes. Generally favourable, with some critics saying it wears familiar boots polished better in the Texas dust.
Let us talk, architects. Chad Fian created this thing. He ran season one through production, then bounced before the premiere. Trades report clashes with key creatives, and folks like Taylor Sheridan and 101 Studios chief David Glasser were in the mix. He still has creator credit, so season one is likely his blueprint on screen while the suits figure out the next steering wheel. To be fair, that is a hell of a time to exit. Right after rap, right before the PR tour. That is not a smoke bomb. That is a controlled detonation.
Why would he leave?
My take, corporate meddling fatigue is real. Reason one, creative clashes that turn the writer's room into a knife drawer. Reason 2, a power struggle in a legacy franchise where turf lines are drawn in invisible ink and everyone swears they're the adult in the room. Reason 3, the man may have wanted freedom. You build a house, you hand over the keys, and then the homeowners want to knock walls down while telling you to smile. I have seen that movie. It ends with a stiff drink and a door slam.
Here's some fun casting noise.
Stephen Amell auditioned for the Rob Will role, the one that went to Jai Courtney. That tells you what the show wanted on that flank.
volatility that can sell a fight with just a smirk and a bad decision. Also, internationally, they cut a deal for Amazon Prime Video in select Asian territories because Paramount Plus is not everywhere and money likes passports. That is business, love. I do not make the rules, but I do enforce them.
Now, let me be crystal. The show nails some things. Annette Bening as Beulah is a slow burn blade. Ed Harris as McKinney the Vet carries quiet gravity. Beth and Rip walk into South Texas with history on their backs and no one cares, which is exactly how a new county should treat imported legends. The 10 petal machine runs on money, manners and muscle, and Rio Paloma feels like a place where favours have interest rates. When Carter and Oriana circle each other, you can hear the feud sharpening. This is the good shit right here. But listen, I will always side-eye a franchise that milks the cow dry. Dutton Ranch earns its keep because it changed geography and threat profile. If it had stayed in Montana, we'd be chewing the same cud. South Texas gives it new neighbours, new laws of the land, new hell to pay. And 9 tight episodes keep it mean and lean. No filler, no nap breaks.
Haha, controversial question time. Did Fionn walk because someone tried to sand the edges off? My opinion? Yes. Maybe not one villain in a black hat, but a whole committee in crisp shirts. In TV, nothing kills a voice faster than polite notes stacked like bricks. And a franchise this loud will always attract people who want the echo to point at them. You disagree? Tell me about it. I will read it between sips and call it like I see it.
Personal tangent, story time. I got tossed from a festival gig once because I would not tone down my language. The promoter pulled me aside with that plastic smile and said, "Can we make it friendlier?" I said, "Can we make it realer?" 10 minutes later, I was outside with a wristband that did not open any doors. Did it sting? Yeah. Did I sell out? No. Authenticity over everything. If your art needs a helmet and elbow pads, maybe it is not art. Maybe it is furniture.
So when I see Feehan set the table and leave the feast, I get it. Sometimes you walk away before your voice turns into beige wallpaper. Sometimes you say, "I am not here to be agreeable. I am here to be right." Ugh, this again. The merry-go-round where executives pretend edges are accidents. I have had it with this nonsense. Call me when people grow a spine. Bloody hell, even talking about it spikes my heart rate. Fionn, wherever you landed, here is a middle finger to meddling, a toast to stubborn vision, and a reminder that playing it safe is how stories die. I should not have to say this, but here we fucking are.
Final riff.
Dutton Ranch works because Beth and Rip hit a brand new arena and the show lets Texas breathe. Beulah and the Jacksons are not clones, they're a different animal. The directors keep the camera muscular, the season stays tight, the critics are broadly in, and the distribution hustle means more ears and eyes, which is good for the chaos economy. That is society for you. If it sells, it lives.
Alright, that's all I got. Go do something useful.
Stream smart, think sharper, and tune in tomorrow for more chaos, because I am not done yelling yet. And for the record, when a show earns it, I will give it its flowers. When it does not, I will say fuck it and move on.